So Russia launched over 110 missiles at Ukraine the other night. Did quite a lot of damage. Many missiles hit Odessa, but also other cities. I think a few hit areas in Kiev as well. Pretty big barrage. One of the biggest since the war began. But what I hope you understand about this is that this is not a grand assault by Russia. Almost certainly, this missile attack was designed to deplete Ukraine's anti-air defenses. You know, Patriot missile batteries and other anti-air systems, just to use up their ammo. And the reason that's important is because probably a larger Russian offensive is coming. And so they're just throwing missiles at Ukraine to, you know, get all the anti-aircraft out of the way, knowing that the West has a real supply chain problem when it comes to ammunition for anti-air defense systems. They just don't have enough munitions, and they can't make enough. You know, Russia is winning the manufacturing war and the supply chain war. And in a war of attrition, whoever has the most people and the most munitions or the deepest supply chain, you know, the most output, typically ends up winning that war. And that's why Russia has such an advantage right now versus the West. But there was a far bigger event that took place during this missile barrage, and that is the fact that Russia launched a missile that flew over Poland on purpose, clearly. It went 40 kilometers into Poland before sort of arcing, making a U-turn, coming around and hitting Western Ukraine. But this was clearly a probing missile trajectory to find out if Poland, i.e. NATO, has effective anti-air defenses protecting Poland. And the answer is no. This missile that flew over Poland was not interdicted at all. Nothing stopped it. Now, Poland says they tracked it, and they say it's a Russian missile. They're confirming all that, but they did not stop it. They say they dispatched a fighter jet to try to interdict it, but apparently that didn't work because the missile was not taken out, and it eventually hit a target in Western Ukraine. So if you think about what Russia just did from a tactical military point of view, they did two key things. Number one, they depleted the anti-air defense munitions, or at least used up some of them, the units that are on the ground in Ukraine. And secondly, they were able to determine that Poland does not have good anti-air defense systems, at least none that were effective, you know, during this attack. And that's very valuable information if you think this war is going to escalate, because the West wants to escalate this war dramatically. And you see the State Department talking about how they want to destroy Russia. And now Lindsey Graham, crazy Lindsey Graham, a GOP senator, talking about how he wants to bomb Iran. He's just out there screaming about, let's bomb Iran, bomb their oil fields, you know, bomb their airports, bomb everything. You're looking at a regime in the United States that is heavily invested in escalation. And Russia needs to know how effective its, you know, retaliation strikes would be in the case of a sharp escalation of this war where the West is launching, let's say, even nuclear warheads at Russia. Russia needs to know what it's going to be capable of doing in response to that. And I think that's what they just found out. They found out that Poland is, at least parts of Poland, eastern Poland, are defenseless. Now, that may not hold true for Warsaw or certainly, you know, military base areas around Poland, but Russia did just prove that they can push missiles across Polish territory and that Poland will do nothing to stop it. And that's a very big deal. Now, keep in mind also that Russia has, of course, very advanced hypersonic missiles, and these hypersonic systems cannot be interdicted by anything. You know, they're unstoppable. The Kinzhal missiles, for example, and they have other missiles, the Iskanders, you know, the ICBMs that are actually, they have hyperglide vehicles upon reentry. So they have a lot of hypersonic capabilities. And as far as we know, nothing in the West can stop them. So if this does escalate into an exchange of, let's say, nuclear missiles, then the advantage clearly rests with Russia. And the West would be looking at a devastating wave of nuclear strikes. Now, I don't think it's going to go there, by the way. I'm just saying that if it did, Russia would actually have the advantageous position in that exchange. Now, in terms of Ukraine itself and its political infrastructure, it's very clear to me that Zelensky's days are numbered. And there's a lot of infighting, there are assassinations taking place, a lot of jockeying for position, especially by Zaluzhny, who's the military leader. And one of the things that we've learned recently is that Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, you know, the actor, he really did not respect the chain of command of his military leadership, and he would bypass his top generals and give orders directly to, you know, commanders, I guess battalion-level commanders or whoever's left in the field. And Zelensky is trying to micromanage this war himself, which is always disastrous when politicians think that they can play armchair general. You know, they don't have the experience, they don't have the knowledge, they don't know what they're doing. And they can give a lot of bad orders. For example, one of the things that Zelensky has done this entire time is he's said, we're not going to give up territory. We're going to fight to the last man to defend, you know, this city or this town, like Bakhmut, for example. You're going to fight to the last man. Well, that's actually a horrible strategy. Sometimes you need to have a tactical retreat, not lose the men, not lose the equipment, let the enemy take that position and then retreat to a more defensible position, or probe and find a different weakness in the lines of the enemy and maybe mount an attack somewhere else. I mean, you can't just keep throwing men at a situation when the losses are mounting up, and you need to be nimble, because at the end of the day, whether you own a particular square mile of land there is inconsequential to the higher priority goal of protecting your men. Because if you don't have a military remaining, then you can't defend any piece of land. So it doesn't even matter. So don't waste men defending land when the real goal should be destroying the enemy's ability to wage war against you, whatever that looks like. And sometimes it means retreating, but Zelensky never understood that. Again, because he's not a military tactician. He doesn't have that experience, and he's nullifying his generals in many ways and ordering troops to do suicide missions and things that are horrible ideas. Now, this has created a lot of friction inside the military command in Ukraine. And this is why I think ultimately Zelensky's days are numbered, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually a military coup in Ukraine, or some attempted military assassination of Zelensky, you know, to throw him out of power, assassinate him, take over, because he's been so disastrous for the safety and the viability of the military itself. So, taking a guess, I don't think Zelensky survives another 6 months, if even close to that. I think he's gone, and he's probably dead by that time. You know, so much for all his luxury, you know, beachfront homes in all these different countries and all the billions of dollars he probably, you know, confiscated and stuffed away somewhere. He's not going to be around to enjoy it. His lifespan is less than a year at this point. At the same time all of this is happening, the American people grow weary of funding the Ukrainian war. And also, of course, Congress doesn't want to send any more money to Ukraine, or at least the GOP side of Congress. So Ukraine is really desperate for funding, and they're probably not going to get the level of support that they are looking for. In fact, it's guaranteed they're not going to get that level. So things are going to get, you know, pretty dicey there for the time being. I just pray that this war ends. I want to see peace for the Ukrainian people. I don't want to see any more lives lost. I want to see peace and abundance and the resumption of trade. And it saddens me to see the destruction that has taken place and the loss of life and, you know, the breakup of families and how many spouses have lost their husbands, or how many families have lost their sons, how many children have lost their fathers. It's the whole thing was unnecessary. But the West wanted to push Ukraine into this as a proxy in order to weaken Russia, and it didn't work. And hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians have paid for that mistake with their lives. And that is just, that is unacceptable. That's a war crime by the West against the people of Ukraine. And it's just very sad to see that this happened. I hope it ends soon, and I hope there is peace and prosperity for the region. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com. You can also find me on Brighteon.com. Take care. All right, back in stock at the Health Ranger store, we now have our certified organic lab-tested milk powder and also our coconut milk products. Again, both back in stock. I've got some on my desk. Can you show that? There we go. We've got milk powder in number 10 cans, which are really great for long-term storage, also completely rodent-proof there. We also have milk, that is cow's milk, in the pouches, and then we have coconut milk powder as well for those of you who want that option. I use both of these. These are great long-term storable items, great barter items. They're both available at healthrangerstore.com along with hundreds of other products that we have there. Check this out. We also have our new organic super anthocyanins powder, which is great. I mean, this is a blend of six organic berry and vegetable powders. It's high in anthocyanins, which are the purple pigment molecules that have extraordinary properties for supporting your health. Also, of course, lab tested for glyphosate and heavy metals and more. And then if you go through the website, you'll see all these other products that we have. Freeze-dried beet juice powder, organic nascent atomic iodine that's in organic glycerin, by the way. It makes it more tasty for people. Here's our organic vanilla bean powder, like the real vanilla bean powder, not make-believe fantasy artificial vanilla flavors. And then we have this new Hydrate Elementals, which is organic coconut water with aquamin, which is a very popular mineral supplement. And this has great benefits. You can read about that and much more, collagen peptides and so on. All of this at healthrangerstore.com, where we do more in-house lab testing of our own products than any company in the world, any retailer, you know, any e-commerce company on the planet. We do more rigorous testing with our in-house lab. And that way we can bring you clean foods and supplements, things that we know to be clean, and almost everything certified organic as well. So check it all out, and thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take care.